Our last speaker tonight is Ahmed Shaki. He's an editor of the International Socialist Review.
Comrades, sisters and brothers and friends, there is not a lot of point in trying to go over certain subjects or topics that have been so ably covered here tonight by others. There is, however, a point in acknowledging the contribution of each of the speakers and each of the struggles that they represent and the hundreds and the thousands who struggle in each of the respective countries and areas from which they come to struggle for a better world. And what we see tonight is part of the answer to the declaration 11 or 12 years ago that there was no alternative, that the market was here, that the market was the future, that the market is the way to go, that the market is all it could be. This meeting and the demonstrations and the strikes and the protests of the last year have shown clearly that the market is not the way, it is not the future, it should be the past. We have, in the words of a revolutionary who passed away last year, Daniel Singer, who wrote a brilliant book, whose title sums up really what this panel is about. The next millennium, theirs or ours? And he writes, we are at the moment, to borrow Whitman's words, when society is for a while between things ended and things begun. Not because of some symbolic date on the calendar marking the turn of the millennium, but because the old order is a dying, insofar as it can no longer provide answers corresponding to the social needs of our point of development. Though it clings on successfully to power, because there is no class, no social force ready to push it off the stage. We are between things ended and things begun. We were promised and told that the American way, privatization, neoliberalism, deregulation, union busting, lower wages, was going to lift every boat and bring prosperity. And we are here to say we know what the American way is all about. And unlike the image of America, of the United States, in the 1960s, in which the image was of the bought-off, well-paid, fattened and contented worker, the reality of America today is of workers who have suffered for 20 years, an onslaught that has known no bounds. Sections of that working class have suffered not only economically, but face daily brutality, degradation, indignation by this society. That is the American way. That is the American way that has been internationally packaged and resold for a profit by the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. That is the American way that the brothers and sisters here are saying we want none of. And that the American... And that those who live in America, rather than those who are Americans, who work for peanuts in this country, say, we want nothing to do with that American way. In the 1960s, the United States was part of a great process of international radicalization. It took many forms. Ideologically, began with all kinds of different ideas. most clearly around the civil rights movement with simple ideas, with simple aims. I am tired. I am sick and tired. I am sick and tired of taking it, and I will not take it anymore. Ideas like that, that connected to a new radicalization and propelled a new generation into combat, into fighting this system. Most who began did not believe that they were entering the struggle for and of their lives. Most began with the same motivations that motivate everyone here and everyone up here. Decency, justice, an end to racism, an end to the discrimination against women, an end to sexism, an end to exploitation and degradation as we have come to know it. I want to be able to sit in a bus without being relegated to the back. That's how the Montgomery bus boycott began. I want to be able to be served food at a counter and not be harassed, intimidated, segregated because I have a black, or shall we say, a black or a brown skin in today's America. That's how those movements started. And they quickly came to the realization that to win small reforms, struggle was necessary. As Frederick Douglass said, without struggle, there is no progress. But we have a generation of people who now understand that without struggle, there is retrogression. Without struggle, everything you have gets taken away. Without struggle, those who were proud yesterday are in the dump today, in the dumpsters and on the streets. That if you do not fight them, they will not leave you alone. They will take and take and take as they want to take in Bolivia, in Brazil, in Palestine, in Vieques, in Greece, we want in South Africa, in Zimbabwe. They will take until they are stopped from taking. And the power that can stop them from taking is there. It is called the international working class. It is our class. And we have a special role to play here in the United States. Not by choice, not by design, but because, as the saying goes, as the old saying goes, where the chains of imperialism, where the chains of bondage are forged, they must be broken. This country appointed, the ruling class and government of the United States appointed themselves the guardian of the world. It means that they sit on the rest of the world, but they can also be affected. Their rule is affected by every rebellion in the world. Our task, our duty, and it is not an easy one, is to build here at the heart of the beast. And for those who saw the film on the Black Panther Party on Friday, have no illusion as to what we are facing. For those who have lived in Latin America, or who live in Colombia today, have no illusion about the willingness of this government to use force to maintain its power and its wealth. But we are here in the United States and therefore have a responsibility to the world and to the world's workers. And it's a simple one. Our freedom, our future, our working class depends on the rest of the world's working class, but so too do they depend on us being able to strike a blow here against the American way, against the way of profit, against the way of capitalism. And that is the project we have dedicated ourselves to. It'll take work, and when we leave here, we are all not fragmented, but we will not feel necessarily the strength and the solidarity we feel today. We should remember it. And we should remember that the years of work that each and every one out there and on this panel has put is what produced this meeting and is what will produce further struggles. It is called the beginnings of building of international solidarity and of building the organizations necessary to go from one struggle to the next. We will be in Washington, D.C. this fall. But better yet, we will be in every city that we can. And the project of building a revolutionary workers' organization is on the agenda in a way that it has not been for 20 to 30 years. The American working class movement has one of the richest and proudest traditions of fighting, of combat, of solidarity, of selflessness, and of courage. We also have a ruling class that has a similar and completely diametrically opposed history of barbarity, of violence, and of repression. And we haven't recovered from the last assault, but it is time that we did. And if this meeting encourages you to do anything at all, it should encourage you to play a part in the reconstruction of that movement and in the building of such a party. It is needed here, it is needed internationally, and we have a small contribution to make. But today's small contribution can turn into an enormous dividend, to use the language of the day, in the future.